Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us, and welcome to the Classic Series Redrive. Check them up. Let's get started.
Welcome in to episode 86 of the Classic Series Redrive. Kyle Forsyth sitting in person with Mr. Mark Hostetler in Loveland, Colorado. Logan Reinhold at the Reinhold Tack and Western Wear Studio in Waterloo, Indiana, on the soundboard recording us, trying to make us sound good. Boy, that was good. I nailed that intro, Mark.
About damn time.
I didn't even practice today. Yeah, so we made it to Loveland safe and sound. Show starts here in a few days. Some interesting travel for quite a few people. Some people got in early enough where they missed some weather, but weather definitely cranking across the whole country this week, and it's putting a bit of a wrench into the travel of people getting here. I know there's some teeth marks in my Peterbilt seat coming down a few hills yesterday, and my ass was gripping it.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough to have a direct flight out here, and everything went good on our end. But yeah, like you said, there's a couple of hitches that had a little bit of trouble and maybe left a day or two earlier than what they wanted to. And that's the time of the year we're in, and it's always going to be the case, unfortunately.
So upcoming shows, we got Loveland, the Big Thunder Draft Tour show starts this upcoming Friday. That would be January. I got to look at my calendar. That's January 12th, 13th, and 14th at the Big Thunder Draft Tour show, Loveland, Colorado. Come down, check it out. And then followed right up by the National Western Stock Show and Rodeo in Denver, Colorado. That'd be the 18th of January to the 21st of January. So those would be the closest upcoming shows. And then that basically runs pretty close right into Florida. A few of these hitches will be running from here straight to Florida, the Florida shows, Mark.
Yeah, those are held the Grandview Invitational February 1st through the 3rd, and then the Grandview World Nights at the World Equestrian Center there in Ocala, February 8th through the 10th. Of course, Shannon and Karen Cobbs putting on those shows, and just a fun time in Florida. Of course, this time of the year, it's always fun to go down there. But for the folks that never been to the World Equestrian Center, I mean, that is just an unbelievable facility to host an event for a show like that. And just hundreds of horses there on the grounds doing, you know, they have jumping events every day, and just an unbelievable facility to go check out. And so, yeah, it's fun there. And like I said, two totally different weather patterns, you know, from here in Colorado to Florida anyway this year. But yeah, that's upcoming shows. That's about it until you hit a couple sales and then roll around the 1st of March and those couple shows in Arizona.
Well, you're lucky enough. You're going to take in the cold here in Colorado for a couple weeks stint here. And then the board of directors, you guys, El Presidente Doyle Dingman retired himself a little house down there and hosting you guys, the board, for your annual meeting down there.
Yeah, we decided to go down there. There wasn't much pushback from going there instead of going to Gordyville or Topeka like we did last year. And I know that house all too well, unfortunately, from last year, spending a month in there. But looking forward to going down there for the weekend and hanging out. And I assume most of the board will be there for that first show at the Grandview Invitational, and take that all in and have a good time.
Absolutely. Classic Series news, Mark. Anything new? Anything going on? One thing I do know is I forgot to buy Christmas presents for a couple people, and I went on the Drive Six website, and there's a little toggle button about one finger scroll down that says order merchandise. You click on that booger and you can get all kinds of things. They got lots of neat stuff, lots of different logos too. If you have a youth exhibitor that wants a youth classic cart series merchandise, I know our kids love that stuff. Classic cart logo, you can put all those classic halter. The Redrive podcast even has this logo on there, Classic Series Six Horse Hitch. You can get any of those different logos put on the merchandise. So it's pretty cool. You can kind of customize it to what you want.
Yeah, like you said, Kyle, it's custom. They'll make it takes a little bit longer to get it just because it is custom ordered on whatever Logan you want, on whatever piece of clothing you want, hats to the whole nine yards, summer clothes, winter clothes. Yeah, be sure to check that out. Yeah, like Kyle said, and be sure to support our youth with the coffee. I know we're keep banging that drum, but make sure we support that youth scholarship program as well as we can as a membership and as a Draft Horse family. As we all know, and it's not just in the Draft Horse industry, but every industry or everything in this world revolves around our youth. So important to support them. Just another reminder of, you know, people should get their memberships renewed. I know it's after the first of the year now, but we still need to get them renewed. And also some summer shows. There just haven't been a whole lot of shows that have registered yet at this point in time. And if we could just get shows to get registered here so people can start planning their summer show schedule and see what shows are available to go to and what they pay out and so on and so forth.
Yeah, episode 86. This is a cool one. We've tried to get Dr. Scott Nebergall and his brother Gary Nebergall, Nebergall brothers, draft horses. They have had all three breeds, obviously, and we've tried to get them on for a while, and it just worked out that they're having their family Christmas. Sounded a little bit like the Griswolds. They were in the motorhome, Scott and Gary, and we had a great visit with them. It's kind of one of them throwback episodes where it almost feels like you're sitting in a tack stall and just shooting the breeze.
Yeah, before the podcast, I believe Gary said he's going to be slamming Crown and drinking Crown of Mountain Dew, if I'm not mistaken. And Kyle's right. It did sound like you were just in a tack stall either at the sale or at a show and shooting the breeze with them. And this is what it's all about. These are fun episodes to do when we can just sit there and listen to them and they do the talking. But two great people, knowledge. I mean, just great horsemen on their own. They sure know how to present and turn out a halter horse, and not too, you know, they're not strangers of the hitch world either. They know what it takes on that department as well. Just a great episode. Just a lot of fun chatting with them.
Absolutely. Yeah, as we're doing this more and more, you can just tell some of these guys we need to get on more than once. That's for sure. But looking forward to it. Everybody, stay warm out there. It's supposed to be. Supposed to be a cold month of January by the look of it. So stay warm out there. We'll see you down the road.
We would like to thank Shipshewana Harness and Supply in Shipshewana, Indiana. Mr. Bob Schrock, if you're looking for products for the show ring or at the farm from A to Z, anything you need, horse nutrition, tack, you name it, make sure you check them out, ShipshewanaHarness.com. Follow them on Facebook or visit their shop in beautiful Shipshewana Amish country Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. till 12 noon. Call Mr. Bob Schrock, 260-768-7254 for all your draft horse needs.
Is this the Nebergall Christmas this weekend?
Yeah. We Scott was over in Illinois. We're all in Illinois, and everybody's here at my mom's, so it's all good. It's truly like Christmas vacation. We're sitting in the Genuine RV right now in the driveway of my mom's house. So it looks just like Christmas vacation.
Was it Eddie there?
Well, yeah. Mark, I tell you, Eddie could be any number of them at any given time.
Shoot. That's great.
That's awesome.
Between all of us,
appreciate you guys getting on with us. Let's just get her going. Heck yeah, let's go.
Sure.
Why don't you guys introduce yourselves and then kind of give us just a bit of a rundown of what you do, where you live, kind of that sort of thing, and then we'll get into your story with the horses.
Sure. Well, first of all, we appreciate you having us on. Genuinely do. You guys are doing a great thing here and bringing notice to the draft horse industry. And we listen to the podcasts all the time, so we really appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, it's a terrific thing. We passes the time a lot, so we do like not only listening to it, but it's good for the industry. I think it's a huge deal. So congratulations to everybody. The effort, I realize it's not easy and it's time consuming.
Yeah, we've actually kind of enjoyed it. It's kind of neat to this is probably Logan's the one that kind of gets the shaft. He has to do all the work, but for us to kind of sit on here and just kind of shoot the breeze with people, it's kind of enjoyable for Mark and I. We like doing it.
Well, our biggest goal for this today, or my biggest personal goal, is to get Logan to talk. But I've failed at a lot of things in life, and I'll probably fail at this one too.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. So just a little bit of background. We're in Illinois right now for our weekend. New Year's weekend is for Christmas, and we're doing that right now in Illinois. Scott and I grew up in Illinois, and so we're back here.
That's Arthur?
It's in Paris. It's just east of Arthur, about 45 miles. Okay. And we grew up here in Paris, and our grandfather started us. Scott's going to talk about all that, but our grandfather's farm started us in the horses. And we went over to, we were over in Arthur, and unlike you, Kyle and Mark, you don't know anything about marrying into draft horse families, do you?
Yeah. Yeah. I might have touched on that one a little. But.
Yeah.
Mine was half pony, half draft, but yeah.
Mark's a half draft.
Yeah. Well, I'm married to Lisa Eller, and obviously the Ellers are a long time name in the Belgian industry, and Scott's married to Stephanie Hale, and so that's a little bit of our background from the standpoint of our parentage and heritage. And I've got a daughter and a grandson now, and a son-in-law, and it's a great thing that this grand child thing changes your life, and so we're ecstatic.
Where do you live, Gary?
I'm in Indiana now. Lisa and I bought a farm that butts up against the Eller home farm. I work for a company based out of Bloomington, Illinois called Growmark Incorporated. We're a regional ag supply cooperative. Been with them over 36 years now, and I've got a lot of responsibility in the Eastern Seaboard, and that, and I was fortunate enough to be able to go to Indiana. Lisa owned the Arthur Vet Clinic for 30 years, and she had an associate, Dr. Kyle Drake, who's in the Clydesdale business, approach her about selling the clinic, and originally didn't think they wanted to, and said, "Well, that's a good exit strategy." And so Kyle bought Dr. Drake bought the clinic, and we're in Indiana now.
Okay, so does Lisa still practice at the vet clinic?
Yeah, she's doing small animals now. On the north side of Indianapolis, the Eller farm's up in Arcadia, which is just north of Indy, 30 miles or so. And she's on the north edge of Indy doing small animals and does some of our work when I can talk her into it.
That's more expensive.
And an avid Purdue Boilermaker fan.
So I just... Scott Nuppergall. And to give you a little bit of background on myself, I been practicing veterinary medicine. I graduated in 97 from the University of Illinois. Grew up, obviously, as Gary said, we grew up here in central Illinois. Went to, did my undergraduate work there in Champaign, Urbana. Stayed there for my veterinary medicine. And right after graduation, actually ended up in Arthur and practiced there for about a dozen years and had an opportunity to go to Michigan and have been there since recently. We joined, I'm senior associate practitioner of Saginaw Valley Equine Clinic. It's 100% equine clinic. We referral hospital clinic, whatever you want to call it, do ambulatory, sports medicine, surgery, and reproduction. My main interest is in the reproduction side of things, but I've taken on a role of providing some hospital management there also. So stay pretty busy there and have been there for a couple of years now. So business-wise, that keeps me busy, but also it helps stay within the industry also that way. So
you mostly just large animal or small animal as well there, Saginaw Valley?
No, it's 100% equine clinic. Nothing but horses. I spent some time in Michigan prior to joining this clinic where we did some mixed practice. Actually, it was the same practice that Dr. Mike Powers was partnership in. And I spent about a dozen years there as well. So I've told everybody through, and I think Gary would agree with the same thing with his in his career and everything, but I wouldn't be where I'm at anywhere in my life, family-wise, everything, without the draft horses, because I wouldn't have been to Michigan without having had some sort of background in the draft horse industry. It's just really the draft horses have just shaped my life and my family's life, of course, through the whole thing. So my wife, Stephanie, as Gary said, was originally a Hale. Her dad and mom, Gary and Dixie Hale. Gary, of course, Gary and Jack Hale brothers. For those that through all the years, you know, it's a name that was pretty synonymous with the inside back cover of the Draft Horse Journal and all of those accomplishments that those two gentlemen were able to provide. So we've got one daughter, Harper, who's in her first year of veterinary school right now at the University of Illinois. So again, nothing that I've done in my life would I've got it all to thank to the draft horse, literally in a lot of ways. So I feel blessed. We feel blessed that we've been part of an industry that's really shaped our lives and feel very fortunate for it. So
just to get back to it all, you guys weren't raised with the draft horses.
So, our grandfather, who was here in Paris, our mom's father and mother, originally from Pennsylvania, back here in the Midwest, they were farmers, grain farmers, livestock farmers, had cattle, hogs, and ended up with some horses. Also through the, I mean, they were livestock people, and
right.
They had draft horses and got us introduced to it. He was just, it's taught us a lot through the years. He's very good at animal husbandry. I wasn't always old enough to understand, or I was not old enough to appreciate the entire farm, but I was part of right at the end when he had draft horses. Yeah. So that's what introduced us. But mom and dad, we, you know, we didn't live on the farm or anything, but we had exposure to it with the farm that way. And while they didn't have horses themselves, you know, they had an undying, unconditional love to us and provided that support that way. So that introduced us here locally to Larry Moss. When there's 6 years between Gary and I, and he was in high school, I was in junior high, grade school, actually, I'm sorry. And we started working for Larry for a little bit of short period of time, a couple of years.
They had black Clydes, right?
They had, yes. That, well, they do currently or did. Yes, they transitioned into black Clydes, but they had Belgians originally.
They had Belgians originally, yeah.
Oh, really?
And, I didn't know that. They had a Belgian hitch.
Yep.
No
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah, yep. And then they had Bay Clydes. And then went to black to blacks. Yeah.
So sure. That transitioned into when we were with Larry doing local state fair, that sort of thing. That introduced us to Chuck Kaufman. And so we, you know, I worked for Chuck, started in 1988, went to the first North American championship. Belgian championship in Toronto with him as just observation or there to watch. What we didn't participate, but at that point in time, I mean, Chuck, we both mutually agree. Chuck was our original mentor. That I mean, he taught us the basis of what we needed to learn.
Nobody, even present day, nobody could fit a horse like Chuck Kaufman.
Yeah.
Nobody. And it was amazing back then. He didn't always have it was a one and two thing. It was usually Hales at number one and Chuck was at number two for the most part. And Chuck didn't have if he didn't have an A horse, he had a B horse. But he could stay right on anything and won his fair share of championships by just outfitting other outfits. And
a lot to be said for that. I mean, to maximize the potential of one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but through this whole thing, and this has been the theme, you guys know that, Mark, you and Kyle know this. And, the older you get and get nostalgic and those kind of things with us, it's been our life. And we couldn't have done any of this, none of this, without the support that we've had with so many friends and so much family and those kind of things. It's easy to sit back and say, well, you know, these guys have done this and they've done that, but I'm telling you, there is nothing more about the horses than it's related to the people. And that's what I truly treasure. We both do, especially the older we get. And I've started on a book. I don't know if I'll ever get the damn thing completed, but I've started writing a book. And
really?
Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's not about the horses. It's about the people.
The Smith family has been in the meat snack business since 1975. There are now four generations of Smiths working with Glenwood Snacks. Glenwood Beef Jerky is made with solid pieces of 100% premium beef and smoked with real wood smoke. Their jerky is in high protein, low in calories, and darn good to eat. Also, look out for new lines of meat sticks. Look for the Double S Belgians, the equine ambassadors of Glenwood Beef Jerky, at a show near you. Browse our many flavors of 100% beef jerky, signature meat sticks, and snack bundles at glenwoodsnacks.com. Follow on Facebook, Instagram, or by calling 208-624-9851. Orders over $50 ship for free. Glenwood Snacks.
And talking about talking about people getting back to the horses, I, you know, as an avid, you know, I've been in horses been my whole life. Talk about the people in Central Illinois in the 90s and the early 2000s. You brought up Chuck Kaufman. You had Chris Jess. You had the Hale brothers. Yep. You had Vernon Yoder, Ruben Schrock. I mean, it was a hotbed of breeding and raising damn good Belgian horses. Talk a little bit about that.
And it still is, Mark, from the standpoint, you know, you bring up a lot of great names. You know, Chris Jess was an enormous help to us, and we hold Chris in the highest regard. We got 1,000 stories, but we took a Clyde stud that needed collected. We had bought a Clyde stud, and we needed to get him collected. And Chris had church on Sunday morning, and we thought it was necessary to go ahead and use his facility. But we knew we didn't need to pull in there with the truck and trailer and this Beller and Clyde stud. So we took him down the railroad tracks to his farm, right? I mean, stupid stuff. But anyway, regardless, you mentioned a lot of the hotbed of the Arthur and the Arcola area. Our granddad, as Scott said, he was not a showman. He was a stockman, and he could put a pound on a pig or a cow, but didn't know a lot about the horses. He did, but not from a show animal standpoint. And the highlight was Ruben Schrock and Milton Yoder. So Milton would be who has passed, was his Vernon's brother. Vernon that runs, obviously, Gordyville. And the two of them came over, I remember it well, came over to my grandfather's farm and bought a filly foal, a two-month-old filly foal. This would have been in, I'm going to say, I think 78. Gave $10,000 for this filly foal.
Holy smokes.
For you non-finance majors out there, Jonathan Cush could answer this right off the top. But I did a little background because I'm in finance. That's $46,000 in today's money. Okay. Now there's been a lot of high priced horses and that kind of thing, but that takes pretty good set to give to plop down $46,000 today for a filly foal.
I'm not so sure we've ever had anybody more prepared for the podcast to have that research done.
Like amateurs.
I guarantee it. They're going to be taking this thing over. of preparation.
Anyway, long story short, the filly ends up with up at Doug Palmer's and through transition and everything else. And we didn't know, but they had Milton and Ruben had a fall sale, and a lot of those foals, those long weanlings were featured there. And it's just been a hotbed, and still is.
And did she turn out to be elite?
You know what? I don't know. I haven't gone back and researched that at that time. You know, I didn't know who Doug Palmer was any more than a man on the moon. But getting back to this thing, the people and the family. You know, everybody's got a passion, right? Everybody everybody's got a passion. Most of us, it's the horses. For our mom and dad, their passion was their two boys, right? They would follow us to the far reaching earth in support of us, and that's what they did. They weren't horse people, but they supported Scott and I, and that, as he said, that unconditional love. And that's really how we got our start. So.
Yeah. And Mark, you said about the Central Illinois and the Belgians. So the first horse we bought, Gary and I bought together. We had exposure to the Belgians and Clydes through
through Pap, who was our grandfather. But our first horse we bought together was a Clyde from Jack and Carol Angelbeck in 1989. And we thought we did with the Clydes and understanding of what was going on and that. But so, you know, the transition to being here in Central Illinois, basically, we realized very quickly that, as we jokingly said and have since, it's like trying to raise beef on the East Coast against the water, or try and raise seafood here in Central Illinois. We realized very quickly that we ought to be in the Belgian business. And I distinctly remember for two summers, Dale McMain, busting our chops, kept saying to us, when are we going to get into the Belgian business and leave the Clydes where they are? So we figured we'd better do that. It might be easier to find good Belgians. I mean, we lived around some of the best in the world, in our opinion. So that's how we went to the Belgians at that point. But we've never exited all three breeds ever. We still own all three breeds, but the Belgians are our primary passion, I guess, is what you would say.
Did you guys partner on, like, right from the get go? Was everything kind of partnered together as Never Go?
Yeah, we have. It's, I don't suppose anybody else would have ever tolerated us. Well, they would have him. Because he's smart, right? He's a veterinarian. He's smart. Nobody was going to tolerate me. So, yeah, he's the only one been gracious enough to put up with me. So, yeah, it was us. It's always been us. It'll always be us. And but that said, we've partnered with a lot of other people, you know. Great friends, again, going back to the people, you know, Chad and Rhonda and Brian and Lauren Hiring and Nelson Schrock and Stephanie Ruppel and Lynn and Lynette Tulene and just all those people that have meant so much to us in our lives. And obviously our in-laws and, you know, it all comes full circle. Mark, you were talking about the hotbed in Central Illinois. See, Nelson Schrock was raised right there in Arthur. So Nelson's grandfather and our grandfather did business together. And that's how far back it goes.
Crazy.
So...
Yeah, so that's how you would garner much interest in Belgians pretty quickly, you know, at the time you guys were growing up. And like I said, I mean, you just saw show results, and it was the Hale brothers and the Kaufmans, like you said. And then you look in all the ads and, you know, see with Vernon with Congolese Classic and just on and on and on. You could just go on for years and. Could talk here for a couple hours about all the good horses that were bred there. I could see where it would be very easy to fall in love with a Belgian growing up where you guys did that at that time in your life.
Yeah. And it all comes full circle. You mentioned Classic, and, you know, Lisa'd tell you stories that she was out at Vernon's, you know, it's cold. They're trying to get Classic collected and warming semen up in the, on the dash of the vet truck, right? I mean, just crazy stuff that how it's unheard of now in today's world.
But so shows that you guys both met your wives then?
Yeah. So, but after I graduated vet school, started at the clinic, at the time, Arthur Vet Clinic, which was obviously started by Lisa and owned by Lisa. So I, at that time, literally when I graduated, Stephanie was working at the front desk at the clinic. So I had known them a little bit because of Chuck and being on the road and everything, but had not gotten
you know, to know him very well or anything. So it, that part of it evolved after I graduated, went to work at the clinic. And then shortly after that, we got married in 99. And it's all kind of been history since then.
And we, so I knew Lisa's dad and brother, Lee and Cray Eller, before I knew Lisa, because Lee used to run the, well, they've all run the Indiana State Fair. Lisa's grandfather started running the Indiana State Fair, Clifford Eller, and then went to Lee and Cray and Lisa and so on and so forth. But Lee ran the Indianapolis Sale, and that was my first knowledge of Lee Eller as a kid at the Indianapolis Sale. And Cray, you know, just that for some of those people that don't know, because of Corey's captain and his pedigree, there's a horse named Corey. And the prefix on LNC Corey is Ellers. That stands for Lee and Cray Eller. That's where the LNC comes from. So anyway, through a marriage, Lisa and I got married in 03, but before that, Lisa, here's a deal that you can get a, try to figure this one out. Lisa was Stephanie's aunt before she became her sister-in-law. And you talk about preparing for this podcast. I already prepared for this. So anyway, and it's okay. You guys can laugh. We do all the time.
And he got the okay to have the discussion.
So anyway, but Lisa and I got married in 03, and she's been the happiest woman in the world ever since. So
sure. She didn't approve that. I guarantee you that. I can see her rolling her eyes from here.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we wouldn't let anybody in the camper in the genuine RV out in the driveway. It's just he and I in here. That we wouldn't let anybody. They said, we're going to listen to it. And he said, you can listen to it on the podcast when it's finished. But we like I said, we have had a lot of success, but it's been attributed to, you know, all these people that we've mentioned, and you were talking about that, Mark. You said about the fairs and the success, and I distinctly remember walking down the aisle of the Illinois State Fair, and the Hale brothers in the Hale brothers aisle, and there was champion ribbons from one end of that barn to the other. And I thought, how do you do this? How do you do this? I have no clue, but I'm going to figure it out. Someday I'm going to figure it out. And someday I'm going to do this. I don't know that we ever hit that level, but we've made a pretty good run at it. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd say so. Yep.
So what was the first Belgian you guys bought?
Was it Cassandra?
It was Cassandra. That was truly, Kaufman's Cassandra. We partnered on a couple with Chris Jess early on in 97. We took a stud colt to the Great Lakes that we were partnered with that actually Nelson had bought at the time. We did it the following year. We had another one we partnered with a yearling stud. But the first one we ever bought, true Belgian on our own, was Kaufman's Cassandra, which was probably not necessarily the best show mare, just the best all-around standing appreciation of the four major points that my father-in-law always said were most important. But she was probably one of our our she was a foundation of our breeding, or what we feel like is our breeding.
She was the first national champion we ever had.
Yeah.
And that, going back to this, I would have had to think that through on what was the first national champion we've had.
So she was a CJ legend, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Boy, you were on it. And she was out of a mare that Chuck had bought. Actually, Hales bought this mare in Topeka.
Gary Hale bought her in Topeka,
called Sandy's Danielle. And Gary bought her in Topeka, and Chuck approached him at, bought her outside of the ring.
So, and that was Cassandra's mother. She was a Sandy's Dan mare, Sandy's Danielle. I helped Chuck, or when I was working for Chuck, he had, we called her Sandy, of course. We showed her. It was the closest thing. Chuck, literally, that was the closest thing he ever had the opportunity to get a national champion at the Davenport course. Didn't get it done. She was a little bit of a live wire, but we never ever were able to get around Jack and Gary, period, on a couple of different things. But I mean, on a championship level, that was the closest thing Chuck was able to potentially really make him nervous about in the championship class. But anyway, bred her to legend. She'd had a couple of other
she had
Kindle. Quite a few before that, bred to classic. Chuck bred her to classic 3 straight years, and then bred her to legend. And we bought Cassie basically
based off her history.
But we bought her within the first couple of months of being alive. We formed that at that time we weren't working, or I mean, we were just still good dear friends with Chuck, but we had the good ability to an opportunity to buy her from Chuck. So
but that year she was national champion at Davenport for us, I honest to goodness, did not think this. I knew we had arrived in the business. My dad pointed it out to me, and at that point, I knew we had arrived. When down having a drink on us was Lee Eller, Harold McMain, and Don Schnickloff, and that was the biggest honor that far exceeded any champion ribbon that Cassandra had. And my dad said, look at that, and pointed over to him. And the three of them are sitting there in a chair in our aisle, in ours at Davenport at the National Belgian Show. And you've got three icons like that having a drink on you. You've done something.
And I guarantee you those guys, I mean, they wouldn't probably turn away a drink from you, but
no,
but that being said, I mean, they probably knew that you deserved what you'd gotten that day. That's why they were at your stalls. Like it was cool. A legitimate congratulations that they were trying you to bet. Project you to you.
Yeah. Yep.
And I always find this interesting, but who would have been judging that show? Do you remember?
Roger LeClaire judged one. She was back to back champion. That was her three. Roger LeClaire judged one of them.
I don't know who judged them.
I don't know.
And then she was the mother of Patriot then too. And
yeah.
Was he not national champion then?
Yeah, he was national champion and a 2-time All-American. And then he was a sire. So you're going back to the champion classes and things that you're proud of, even so much of winning in the ring and that kind of stuff. But raising them, you guys know this, breeding them and raising them and doing that with them and raising those champions or owning the studs. This year at the Indiana State Fair, at the National Belgian Show, in the champion drive of the mares, of the four mares, we own or owned three of the sires that were in that champion class. And that's BJ Majesty, Nebro's Patriot, and then Agristor's Diamond's Dream, that the Brian hiring mare that Jardine's showing.
Right.
Won. And we've owned, out of those, out of the four sires, we've owned three of them, or currently do. So anyway, pretty cool. But like I said, it was, again, it just goes back to the people, and that's what really hits home with us.
So how many colts a year are you guys breeding? Handful of mares, two or three or 10, or how many mare are you breeding these days?
Yeah, we had the most we ever had was 14. And that was just, things were out of control. You know, we never got any sleep, never did any of that with full-time jobs and that. And then when they leveled off and we got sensible, we're two or three foals a year now. We've got two coming. We just lost a mare that was due here in January. And but anyway, just a couple, three.
Yep.
Penwoods Equine Products is a family-owned and operated business that strives to support the growth, performance, and longevity of your equine family with our premium nutrition supplements. We make all of our products with locally sourced ingredients right here in the USA, so you can always be sure you're getting the highest quality. We've always been horse people. Our products were developed to take care of our own horses, and we continue to back our supplements with real-world horse owner experience. We're proud of the results, and we love sharing our generations of equine knowledge to help meet all of your horse's needs. We want to get to know you and your horses, and we're here to help with any questions you have. So reach out to us. You're part of the Penwoods family. You can visit us at penwoods.com, email us at info@penwoods.com, or follow us on social media.
And you guys own the Dream Horse. Give a little bit of background on him and how you acquired him, and he's starting to put a stamp on the Belgian breed. Just talk about him a little bit.
Now, Brian Hiring deserves all of the credit, 100% of the credit on Dream. He found him, saw him, all this, and called us, and
as a coming yearling.
Yeah, as a coming yearling. And anyway, got him bought and had him delivered in, ironically, had him delivered into Arthur. And we hadn't seen him. And Brian and I went and had dinner at Yoder's, because the only thing I like more than a good Belgian horse is to eat a Amish buffet. And we went and ate at Yoder's, and we were talking about this, and I said, let's quit dinging around here and speculating on this colt, and let's go see him. And he was out at Cliff Kaufman's barn because they'd been delivered in. And when we both walked into the stall, Scott was working. He wasn't there at this point. We knew he was going to be something. And it was a yearling, and he went undefeated in his class, did get beaten some championships, but it was the All-American or Gold Merit, that kind of thing. And then we brought him back out in, I don't know,
21.
He won the Great Lakes and I don't know wherever else, but at that time we had interest. Peter Yoder from Ohio called and through Ray Yoder at Crystal Springs, and the bottom line is bought into the horse, and he stands at Crystal Springs right now out at Crystal Rays. And they're doing a good job, great job with him. And
I wouldn't be surprised if he licks, booms a little bit.
He'll guys know about the
breeding this year.
Topeka last fall. Yeah, he'd hit a pretty good lick there a couple of years ago, and they've bred quite a few mares with him, and Jim and Lynn Carey raised a colt out of him, and Kyle, I know about it. You've got a full brother to him, the gelding that Mark and Jocelyn bought in Topeka that Dublin Valley had there.
Yep.
Brought quite a bit of money, and he looks to be very special. And there's quite a few of them out there. Seems to be adding some excitement to the breed.
Well, it's kind of cool, a horse like that that's producing a horse that sells to be a hitch gelding for $78,000, and then also has your national champion and the Classic Halter Series winner.
Right.
Absolutely. Right.
Yep. I mean, that speaks pretty highly. And I think that's what our breeds, the draft breeds, need, is maintain that level of quality, but also add, you know, and add to the hitch industry as well. That's pretty special.
It is. It's cool. So,
and that's what's been, you know, there again, I mean, it's not been us, the two of us just doing things. I mean, without, like this in this case, without Brian and the friendship we had to begin with, and you know, we would have never been able to be a part of him in the big picture. And so we just, like I said, the whole thing has just shaped our lives. So
I got one for you here. I sent out a few text messages just to see if I could get some good ask about the time stories. So,
oh boy,
what's the story behind the Twit Twins?
Well, this goes back to Davenport, and we had a pretty good day, Davenport, and we turned on the high octane gas right off the bat. I'm not sure that we had hardly got the horses out of the ring after the day, and we started in the aisle, getting right with it. Anyway, like I said, we go ugly early. We go down for the count. Here comes Dale McMain wanting a celebratory drink, and Scott and I had already called it a night. We were in bed. We were done. Right, we were toast, and Dale comes waltzing down there, and where's the Twit Twins? I want to have a drink. So it kind of stuck.
You even nailed the voice. That's pretty impressive.
Well, actually, Kyle, honest to goodness, the more I've had to drink, the better I do, Dale McMain. If I've got a full jag on, I can do Dale McMain better than Dale McMain can do Dale McMain.
Oh man.
So that stuck, and now,
yeah, we
get called that all the time
by our wives and daughters.
Yeah.
Which I'm not gonna put you on the spot, Kyle, because I don't want you to have to reveal your sources. But now you got me wondering who gave it up. I don't know if that was actually Dale directly or one within our camp, which would be surprising if it was somebody within our camp.
We gotta have to keep our sources protected.
Yeah, I know.
Why is the ooh-ah point in the Grand Canyon a special place? This is all new to us too, because we get these messages and we don't know the answer to. I would like it that way. I said, just give us the what to ask and listen for the answer.
Did you see the picture or not?
No.
Well, did you? Oh, well, because I know your source there. So, but if that's the case, but anyway, he could be. It's with Jim Emmons, we never refer to, you know, it's a term of endearment, and Chad Cole's probably the best at this. Everybody's got a nickname, right? Everybody's got a nickname. And with us, Jim Emmons, his nickname with us is Hua, right? So because the Packers and all of that stuff, and so anyway, we happen to feed a lot. I don't know when we know anymore. Bottom line is we fed sulfur to the horses from a hair coat standpoint. Okay.
Years and years ago.
Flowered sulfur.
And the old Clyde guys, they always said to feed that, it'll keep the itch out of their legs.
Exactly. We did it from a hair coat, keep the itch out and all that. We fed it to Belgians and everything. It used to be that in central Illinois, they had lots and lots of big fairs, county fairs, and you had to have your stuff together. I mean, all the big dogs rolled in. The McMains, the Schnickloffs, the Craig Granges, the Hales, the Chuck Kaufmans, the, you know, Rushville was a big show. Anyway, Peoria used to have a big show. I don't know if you guys even remember this, would have been showing at that point and was down in Peoria. Peoria was a big show.
I remember going to Peoria one time. Yeah, it was a good show.
Yeah. I showed there one time in Henry. It was Henry the first day, and then you moved over and did Peoria the next day.
Yep. And if you were lucky enough and you had the stamina, you could do Crescent City. You could do Arthur. I mean, you could do the Central Illinois show circuit in days, what you guys do in months now, like in Colorado and those kind of things, or Florida. Anyway, we had been feeding sulfur. Jim Emmons is judging. And he comes back and says, it smells like somebody's been feeding a lot of sulfur. So.
Nailed that voice, too.
It's like this dude, he's got it. Emmons has got it. You know, I'm like, who the hell can judge a horse, sniff a pile of shit, and tell what we've been feeding? Okay? But Emmons can. So.
So his nickname is Ooh-ah.
Ooh-ah. Said Ooh-ah, sniffed it out. So we're at the Grand Canyon hiking with Talene, and we get down to this one point, and there's a sign that says Ooh-ah Point. So we said, we've got to take a picture and send it to Emmons. Ooh-ah Point. Right?
Shoot. That's awesome.
I do have, and I don't want to take up time, but I've got a couple for you if you want them. I've got a pretty good, you know, in the facets of this, there's stories about tax stalls and sales. There's stories about when you're judging. There's stories about when you're exhibiting, and you guys have all experienced those. Had. All of those, and you're making great memories. You've got kids that are coming up, and what I wouldn't get all this and doing it for a lifetime. But anyway, we had a pretty good 2-year-old stud. This was when the National was still at Davenport. We were going into Indiana. Actually, we had a very strong lineup. We had a good 2-year-old stud, and we had a very good yearling stud with us. And Jim Westbrook is judging Indiana. And at that time, in the numbers, Indiana was bigger than Davenport. Davenport was the national show, but Indiana was the bigger numbers.
And this 2-year-old stud, he, quite honestly, he had a little hitch and he's getting along. Okay. And you need to experience some humbling experiences. And we have, we've had plenty of them. We get this 2-year-old horse, got a little hitch and he's getting along. He wins Davenport. We're going into Indiana. The great Jim Westbrook's judging. We think we're going to pull it off. We're going to get around it. And Westbrook's not going to see this. So everybody on our crew gets really frustrated with us because we don't talk. We get criticized for that. But anyway, I mentioned that don't forget to swing wide. And I told him do anything effing stupid. And I said, you can count on me. So we move the and we get down to the end of the ring. Scott swings wide and I act like I tripped and I had her in the right. And I'm down on the ground flopping around like a fish out of water. Scott moving the horse on Westbrook. So I get up, dust myself off, kind of just and jog back down. And Westbrook is standing there waiting for me to get there. And what are you doing? And I said, well, I tripped. And he goes, yeah, whatever. And he tells Scott, back this horse up 3 steps. Yeah. Needless to say, he could have pissed on a fire hydrant. And he goes, okay, boys, here's the deal. You can stand at the bottom of the class or you can excuse yourself. And Scott said, you don't have to tell us twice. We're out of here. So, but the we get back, and like I said, it's the 2-year-old horse. We've got a yearling horse coming back in, and I don't know, we'd given up on him, but we weren't as intent as we were on the 2-year-old horse. And I'm getting my ass chewed in the ring. Scott's saying, I told you not to do anything stupid, right? And long story short, the year when he pulls him out, the yearling horse is champion stud for us at the Indiana State Fair.
Went through all that trouble.
Yeah, and still had ruined a good pair of khakis doing it.
Oh man, oh,
that's unreal. So any of you halter judges that are listening to the podcast, if you see Gary stumble, ask the horse to back up 3 steps.
Which leads me, next point is how, so that's why Gary Scott always leading and you're always trailing. Is that the reason?
Well, absolutely. For I Scott never to my knowledge, only lost 2 showmanship classes in his life. Only lost 2.
Who beat him?
Krista Kaufman beat him at Illinois 1 year, and Cray Eller was judging Arthur, and I don't know who beat him. You know?
No.
He probably did it just to prove a point.
He did.
Like, yeah,
just to humble you.
Cray did. By God, you're not supposed to have a show stick with a Clyde. Okay, Cray.
Nuh-uh.
So that's what got. Yeah.
You can have a show stick with a Belgian.
So I had a show stick with me.
No, it was reverse. You didn't have it. And he said,
Care. I'm sorry. I did not have a show stick with the Clyde we were showing in Arthur, and he judged. And
I still want to see a show stick. I don't give a goddamn what you're driving. What you're leading.
I always get a kick out of the Clydes. Like, they wheel in there with a rope halter.
Yep.
Like, that's the decision in a Clyde halter class. Should we put the rope halter on or should we use the chain? And I mean, I grew up with Clydes, and that was a legitimate decision you had to make. Like, do we use the rope halter or do we use a chain under its jaw? With the Belgians, it's like, do we put the chainsaw in? Is his mouth going to bleed? Is his mouth going to bleed too much with the chainsaw bit in his mouth for the halter cut?
That's funny. But he never lost. Those two were the only time I ever knew he ever lost showmanship class. And I never won one. Not one. Not one single showmanship class did I ever win. And I shouldn't have. I was terrible. I was absolutely terrible. And but I do consider myself a little above average with a whip. And I know what I like to see, and I know it's hard to describe. It's a feeling. I know exactly what one of the horses were showing, what gear they need to be in, and how they need to look, and
he's not afraid to tell me that either.
So
anyway. Okay, let's go through all-time favorite horse, all-time favorite show, and why. And then we're going to throw a new one in, all-time favorite judge and why.
My all-time favorite, I'm going to say show horse, but just to simplify it, I guess. My all-time favorite show horse was a mare we showed, CJ Independence. We called her Penny. I've never driven horses, don't drive them, don't have appreciation for that. But I think you two gentlemen understand, you know, when you get a hold of, whether that's card horse or hole six or whatever, you grab the lead shank to take Penny to the ring. And I mean, it was like driving a Cadillac, and, just, she was a pleasure to show. She understood. She's my all-time favorite show for myself. Show mare. Doesn't mean that, you know, I mean, she did her share of winning and losing, but just fun to show.
She didn't lose.
The only other one was at an early age, to say that, we had a stud colt, that was one of the first legend
Viper,
stud colts,
GS Viper
babies that was shown. And he was a heck of, he was a natural.
He put legend on the map.
So I threw two in there, but, my favorite show to this day, is, Davenport. I mean, that was the first big major show I ever went to with Chuck Kaufman. And, and back then, that's back when, you know, there was the pavilion was just getting started across the street. The trees were there, Hale's Corner, where they stayed at. It just, Davenport's my favorite, and I always will be.
There's always lots of good sights around Davenport.
Oh yeah, you bet. You can count on that.
Interesting people.
Yep.
Yeah.
What was the third question though, Kyle? I didn't understand it.
All time favorite judge and why?
Individual or a show that you judged?
Are you asking? Well, you could do both.
My all time show that, and I just did it for the second time, for judging, we did it this summer, past summer together, but, Calgary is, pretty special to judge, in my opinion. The way they treat you like royalty to judge it. The first time I judged it, I think Kyle acted, well, no, you won the Supreme Six. Yeah. And then that's when it was in the Saddle Dome, and, they, you know, you judged in tuxes. And, so that,
the orchestra.
Yeah. The orchestra. That's pretty cool. You know, they didn't have it this year with us, this go around, but, that's, Calgary's pretty cool just in general, how they treat you, the whole show and everything.
Crystal Springs Stables, located in the heart of Amish country in Millersburg, Ohio. Specializing in stallion services, sales, and show fitting, a full line of equine repro equipment and supplies, reproduction seminars, equine reproduction services, including frozen semen collection and storage. Their stallion lineup this season includes Orndorff's Master Encore, Whispering Winds Cactus, Agristor's Diamond's Dream, Rossland Riley, Oakhaven's Illusion, and Dale's Stonecrest Bentley. Crystal Springs Stables, looking forward to partnering with you for success in the coming year. 330-231-2776. That's 330-231-2776. Contact Crystal Springs Stables for all your breeding needs.
Boy, I don't know that. Yeah, they've thrown me for a loop on favorite judge.
Maybe you shouldn't say it, because then if you have,
then
nobody will pick that judge anymore if they think you're gonna like it too good.
And
I'm guessing it's not Jim Westbrook.
No, actually it is. You got to respect that and that kind of thing. And you guys could do a whole podcast on judges in general. And I'll just say this about the judging thing. I think 99% of the time, you know, they're men, women, both, they're doing the best they can. They're trying to do the absolute best possible job they can. You may agree with it. You may disagree with it and all that, but I always hear, you know, there's politics involved, and it's the politics. And I guess I don't ascribe to that thought process. I don't think the politics and the buddy system and all that stuff exists like maybe some others say it does. I don't know. That's just me.
I'd have to agree with you. I think there's less of it. I think that's an easy out. That's an easy excuse.
Yeah. And I do too. And you know, it sometimes when they say, well, it's that they're on the, especially on the holder side, well, they're just judging shirts. Well, a lot of times it might be somebody that gets nervous. It's less experienced that says, well, surely this horse is not as bad as I think it is, because these top showmen would not bring it to the ring. Well, that's not always the case in point, and it is a show. And rather than saying I'm giving it to them because I'm judging a shirt, there's, I think, some people that are less experienced at judging, they give somebody the nod because they're nervous and they don't want to be perceived like making a quote mistake, right? And if I give the nod to somebody that's been winning, I'm not going to look like a fool, kind of thing. But that's just,
And I think you tend to, like, at the top of the classes in halter, hitch, whatever, a lot of times the guys at the top, they're at the top for a good reason. Like, they're consistently at the top because they're good at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or they bring good horses.
Yeah.
Right. They, what'd you say, Mark?
Or they bring good horses out.
Yeah, right. Right. Exactly. My all-time favorite horse, all everything I believed in, was CJ Legend. What's the other question? Show, favorite show? Indiana State Fair. Just from the, I remember, this is the third barn we're in now. I missed the hump. You know, the hump that when you go into the ring, that doesn't exist anymore. I always liked the hump when they redid the Coliseum.
I remember one year, this was a long time ago, when Chris Hammersmith was still driving Lady's cart, and that hump threw her out of the cart.
Yep.
Yeah. I do too.
You were in the stagecoach, weren't you, Gary? When the stagecoach did the talk.
Okay, so I'll give you the Cliff's notes on that, and the thing with the coach that makes it funny is the end result wasn't good, but going into it, Rod Kohler is judging the Perchins, and I'm judging the Clydes. This was in 2012. And we're pulled up there along the side. It used to be Bob Johnson's. He had sold it to another individual. They were not the spots anymore. They were the quarter horses, et cetera, et cetera. Cape Cod is on that corner. It would be the southwest corner where Jackson Fork is now and Ross. And Cape Cod's there, and we're pulled up at that little door. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about. They're pulled up there at the little door. So we're waiting to get in or waiting to go in and playing the national anthem, blah, blah, blah. And it's me and Kohler, and he's been Johnny Smooze with the Indiana State Fair Queen. Okay. And as Chad says, Smooze, right? So Smooze. Kohler's talking to the Indiana State Fair Queen. And I kind of mosey over there. This is obviously before you get in the stagecoach. And Kohler says to me, she's nervous. And I said, about what? And he said, she's heard that this thing has rolled over before. And
oh, so, no.
I said, yeah, it has. And Craig Grange is sitting on a tack box eating a dish of ice cream. And I pointed to him, to her, I pointed to him, and I said, you see that has-been sitting over there on that tack box eating this ice cream? I said, he was the last one that was driving it when it rolled. And I said, but it won't roll now. He's not driving. And she's Larry. And I said, go over and ask him. So you can go over and you can see her mouth moving, and she's serious. And Craig's looking at us, looking at Kohler and I, and he's kind of, you know, rolling his eyes. And she comes back, and I said, well, what'd he say? And he said, he says that this is the slow bunch and that it'll be okay. The night he drove them and they rolled, he had the fast bunch. And I said, yeah, see? So she said, I'm not going. And I said, look. Do you think I'd get inside that damn thing if it was going to upset? And she goes, well, that's a good point. So we get in it, and it's Kohler and I in the back, and across from him, Barb Watson was judging the riding horses, and she's sitting facing Kohler, and the Perchin Queen, her name escapes me at the time now, but is facing me. And we go in, and I've been in this thing a dozen times. I don't remember this much dirt flying in. And it's like riding on a field cultivator. I'm talking dirt clods are coming in this window. I've got my window or my arm hanging out the window. And I thought, you know, despite good Lord was looking out for me, I probably have to pull my arm in. And they said something about the National Perchin Show, and the next thing I know, Kohler's got blood bleeding in my face. And it was a hard landing. It was rough. It was rough. But
I remember I was down in the lower barn showing Perchins, and we heard something on the loudspeaker, and we ran over to check it out, and it was still on the side. And I'll never forget old Chuck, JT McMullen. He was there looking for his buddy Kohler and trying to pull Rodney out of there.
Yep.
Oh, man.
There's a good portion, good story from JT on this.
Yeah. Kohler was hurt pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And they got him out, and he had a pretty good facial laceration. and he was bleeding good. And I was hurt the worst. It broke 6 ribs, broke my sternum, concussion, yada, yada, yada. And they brought me out on a backboard. And I talked to him in. I said, let me stand up. Let me stand up. I'll let you put the backboard on. And you don't want to call a bunch of EMTs that are trying to help MFers. That's a trigger point. that's a trigger point because they will shred a $1,000 suit on you as you sit there. They will cut your clothes off of you faster than a scarecrow. And anyway, I've come up out of this thing on the backboard, and I look down, and there's JT. And, you know, I'm about half coherent, not half. And he's got his shirt off. And I'm like, that's JT. What the hell is he doing? Well, I found out later on he was whipping his shirt off and going to make a tourniquet on Kohler's head to stop the bleeding. So.
Oh, boy. Well, and Kohler, his body physique has improved in the last 11 years. Like at that time, he would have been a big guy.
Yeah, and if you wanted, it's still on YouTube.
I mean, he's pretty ripped now.
And if you search Stage Coach on YouTube, this will come up. And I am not making any light of it. This was the year after the stage collapse, where it was an absolute tragedy and lives were lost in 2011. But see, the media was there because in 2012, because it was the year anniversary of the stage collapse. So all the media's there, everything's there. Our family, Jeff Eller saw it on a CNN blurb update or something about a tragedy in the Stagecoach at the Indiana State Fair. And I don't know if they got a live shot of JT out there running around or what, but Kohler had a couple more pounds on him than what he does today. And he, in theory, I'm not a physics major, but he should have anchored the way it rolled. It should not have flipped with Kohler on that one spot. It shouldn't have rolled, but it did.
He must have poured the juice to him that day. That's all I know.
Yeah, when there was dirt flying inside the stagecoach, that might have been a good indication.
It's a good thing you pulled your arm in.
Yeah, it was, and God bless, Travis Lehman was the ring man, and he ran to him right off the bat. But the deal with the Indiana State Fair Queen, and I said, do you think I'd get in if it was going to flip? She came off of it. She landed. She was up on the seat with the driver, and she came off and she landed like a cat, and she was fine. But she'd probably never take my word for anything.
Yeah, one more reason not to take Gary's word for anything. So.
What was the other? You got another story, Gary? You said you had a couple prepared.
I do have a quick one. So I won't make it quick, but we're just a few reviews away from having two complete sets of Belgian reviews. And Robert Detweiler, this was a couple of years, 3 years ago, I don't know, had one consigned to Gordyville, and the first one in 1925, which is the first Belgian review. And it sold, and Dwayne Miller wanted it worse than I did that day, and he bought it. But the point is, it came from Robert, and I honestly don't even remember what it brought. But anyway, Robert got me on to the fact that Jim Richendollar had three or four of them, I think, in Michigan at his place. And I don't know if you guys know Jim Richendollar, but he's a sweet, sweet man. He's a great individual, and he's very kind, and he has got one of the most extensive draft horse memorabilia collections I have ever seen. It is unreal, and it's worth the trip to go see his place and go see his stuff. So anyway, I go to Jim's. We get to talking about it, and he's going to undersell. He's not going to try to oversell me. I said, Jim, this what you want, and it's pristine. It's in the envelope. It's great. It's nice. It's in great condition. And he says, well, let's call. He said, what'd the one bring in Gordy? And I said, I don't even remember now. He said, let's call Robert. Robert Detwell. He said, let's call Robert. I said, okay. So he calls Robert. He gets him on the speakerphone. And on this, he calls him up, and you hear this, hello, Jim. What the blank are you doing? And Jim says, and when I tell you what he said after he said it, this is now it seems like eternity what he's talking about. And Jim says, I'm sitting here with one of the greatest halter guys I've ever known. And before everybody listening to this says, oh, gag, oh, right? I'm thinking, holy hell, this is my Oscar moment, right? Jim Richendollar sitting there saying, this is, you know, I'm talking to one of the greatest halter guys, blah, 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 you know, and I'm putting my acceptance speech together and what I'm going to say. And I'm like, holy hell, this is unreal. On and on and on. And anyway, he no sooner says that, I'll come bring you back into reality. He no sooner says that, I'm sitting here with one of the greatest halter guys I've ever known. And Robert says, you're sitting there with Dean Woodbury? So as fast as my head puffed up, it got deflated. And if you'll remember, I said just a little bit ago, you know, this horse thing, the people and the animals, they keep you humble, right? And so Cheech kept me humble.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you get the review bought, Gary?
Yes, I did. And Jim was very kind to me. And it is, Mark, it is in such good condition. I've got it in a big drawer in a lockbox in a bank vault. I mean, this thing's unreal.
I could hear Robert, too. Let me tell you, that piece at Gordyville sold for half of what it was actually worth.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. Got him.
Be sure to charge him double what I got for mine.
That's it.
Oh, man.
Still got his other 20. Got the one and other, but that was his dad's. It was in good a condition as the one Dwayne bought. But it is obviously it was his dad's, and it means more to him. But he did try to hit me up, I think, for a little commission on getting me onto the Richendollar one. You know, Gary, that's a very good one.
Oh, man.
They say his house is unreal. Like, his basement's full of memorabilia.
Who, Roberts?
Yeah.
Robert or Richendollar?
Yeah, Robert.
Yeah, Roberts is.
Yeah, Roberts, he's got a nice collection. Real nice. Yep. I mean, the man sees everything. Like, when he worked for Bud, like, he's got tickets from, you know, like the cardboard tickets or whatever from the Super Bowl and all those tickets. Like, he kept everything. It's quite something.
He's only got five cans of a six pack now, though. So some point in time, when you get to leave on the podcast, you'll have to ask Lynn about that one. A six pack that's rather special, not just the.
I think Jerry Jones gave it to him.
And Jalene took one of the beer out of it.
And drank it.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, man. Well, I tell you what, this has been great. This has been great chatting with you guys.
Well, yeah, we really appreciate it. Genuinely do. And you guys are doing a great thing. Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
And we can't thank you enough.
Yep. We appreciate it.
Thanks for getting on, guys. And Logan, telling the never go.
You guys are just north of us. Logan, you're just north of us. How far north of us are you?
Just get a shoulder shrug.
See, I failed. I told you I would.
Yeah, failed again. There's gonna be a moment where we get him to talk, and then we're gonna be so excited, and the episode will come out, and he'll have it edited out anyway.
Exactly. Right. Well, thanks a bunch, guys. We do appreciate it, and keep up the good work, like Gary said, and happy new year to everybody. Best wishes. Hope everybody's good.
You bet. Same all the best guys. In 24, guys. Thanks for getting on. Thanks for
getting on.
Okay. Thank you.
The Draft Horse Journal was first published in May 1964. From 28 pages in his first issue to now over 300, the journal has grown, evolved, and progressed right along with the draft horse trade. One of the premier magazines for advertising and for general looking. Contact the Draft Horse Journal, 319-352-4046. Subscriptions at drafthorsejournal.com, advertising at drafthorsejournal.com, or editorial at drafthorsejournal.com. The Draft Horse Journal, the premier magazine in our draft horse industry.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you drop by our Reinhold Tack and Western Wear mailbag, podcast@naclassicseries.com. Once again, podcast@naclassicseries.com. Any questions or feedback you might have, we would love to hear from you. I hope you enjoyed the show. Have a great week, and we'll see you down the road.